Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and inspired to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So today with me, I have finally wrangled the elusive Janet Baird into coming and being our mom mentor today. So Janet is one of our first mom mentors that I have known for a long time and actually lives in my city and within walking distance of me, because Janet is the wife of the pastor at our church. And so I worked with her husband for quite a while at the church, but also know and love Janet very well. So Janet, how about you introduce yourself now?
Okay, well, my name is Janet and I love Christy. So she gets to wrangle me into things that maybe aren't in my comfort zone, but I'm okay with it. I'm 60 years old. And do you want me to talk about my family?
Yes, tell us about your family. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 60 and I am in that phase of life, that decade, and I am married to my husband, Tom, who is a pastor, and I have two grown children who are both married, and my son and his wife have two little rambunctious boys, and my daughter has two little gentle, quiet girls who love to cuddle and are very sweet, and I love my family with all my heart.
Oh, that's great. And they don't live near you, do they?
They do not live near me. They live in Ontario and I live in Alberta.
Ooh, that must be hard.
Yes, it's very challenging. Yes.
Oh. Are you seeing them now more with, you know, lots of video chatting?
Yeah, we are doing a little bit more video chatting. So I've been seeing the boys do their schooling at their kitchen table. And it's kind of fun. It is kind of.
That's cool. Okay. So, let's get into our questions then. So when your kids were little, you know, and by little, I mean, that's kind of relative. You could talk about when they're two or when they're 10. That's all kind of little. So how did you connect with God when your kids were younger and at home?
Okay. Well, I was thinking about that question and it just brought me way back to when my husband and I started the ministry. Oh, did you want me to
Sorry. Talk? Nope. I accidentally turned on the feed in Facebook and then you could hear it talking. Okay. Sorry. Not going to do that again. You keep talking.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm not going to do that.
So I went back to when we first started the ministry together. My husband became a pastor, and within 2 weeks of starting being a pastor, we also had our son. So he was a baby and we were starting the ministry and we were in a brand new place and I didn't know anybody. Hmm. And I was raised in a tradition of, you know, you sit down and you read the Bible every day and you pray. And that was not working for me at all. And I tried probably for a couple years, and then we had another child, my daughter, and I lived with a lot of guilt. And then I read a book that, you know, we all have like a top five books that sort of impacted our life. And this one was called, And Then I Had Kids.
Oh,
it was written in 1988. So it's an old book. It's still actually, you can still get it on in the States on Amazon, but apparently not in Canada. I checked it this morning, but it's really old. So don't read something more current, I would say. But anyway, that book had a huge impact because it talked about how when you have different seasons in your life on how to connect with God, and in that season, maybe I could do it differently. And one of the suggestions was through music. So I just gave up Bible reading probably for 5 years. And I listened to a lot of Christian music, a lot of music that kids' music. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was scripture, and we would sing it around the house and we would just play it all the time. And it was actually I was a stay-at-home mom for quite a while, and that became my food. Mm-hmm. And I would worship, and I think I learned how to worship in those years. And I'm just really thankful to God that he just sort of set me free of different ways to develop your relationship to God. Now, my season is different now. I feel like God's calling me into different things. Mm-hmm. And so I do study the Bible and pray in a more intentional way now. But I believe there are seasons.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a huge proponent of that. As you probably know that, yeah, different seasons, different personalities are going to study in different ways. We had a mom mentor on last week that said she never missed her 30-minute, you know, Bible reading and journaling time. And I thought, okay, good for you. That's not where I'm at. And it's also not necessarily what connects with me the most. So I love that just for 5 years, that it was not just like, I'm just going to worship. It was God that actually set you free from that particular confines. It wasn't working for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was a setting free and a feeling of grace in my life that this was just as pleasing to God as someone else who could sit on the couch and read the Bible. And he was pleased with that choice. I really felt his pleasure.
That's cool. So if you are out there today and are listening to worship music and not sitting on the Bible, listen for the pleasure of God because he loves the worship music too. That's pretty cool. So how then did God impact your relationship with your husband and with your kids? That could be kind of two separate questions, or you can lump them together if you want. But.
Yeah, that's a really big question.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I'm hesitant to say this because it's my story and not everyone has the same story. But for me, I loved God at a very early age and really thirsted after God. And so in university, actually, my husband and I laugh about it now because I seriously wanted to be the first Protestant nun that existed on the earth.
I have often said that I wouldn't mind being a nun too.
Yeah, and I was just very passionate and I studied the contemplatives and anyway, but my husband and I were friends and we were starting to have feelings for each other and we decided, yeah, the nun or the monk life wasn't going to work for us. So I tell you that story in that, you know, the foundation of our relationship was a very serious love for God that we both respected and encouraged in one another. And so going into the ministry was something very exciting for me and something I really wanted to support my husband in. Mm. So that's what we did. So what was that part two of the question?
Oh, well, how has God impacted your relationship with your husband and with your kids?
Oh, right. So because of that, you know, God has always been really like a big topic of conversation in our house and with our children. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I are very different. He's more of an intellectual, I'd say, an academic, although, you know, loves God very much. It's not an academic exercise for him, but he could get into apologetics. That's not my realm at all. And, but we do respect each other in where we're at. And I think bless each other in where we're at as well. Mm-hmm. And with our children. And so God was always a topic of conversation, especially around mealtimes. You know, we would ask lots of questions about their faith and what they're thinking about. And it was normal part of our life, I would say.
That's good that it was a normal part of your life. Now, I do remember Pastor Tom saying at one point, or I've heard of this story a few times, that he worked really hard in the beginning of your relationship or beginning of the church. And at one point he realized that God had told him, like, slow down or bad things are going to happen. So I love that he was listening there.
Yes. Yes. No, he's passionate for what he does. He's definitely called of God, I think, for the ministry. Mm-hmm. We both feel that. So yeah, he always has to, you know, put the brakes on a little bit to bring the balance, I would say. And we've had to work through that as a married couple for sure.
So are there any other like kind of specific things that come from being married to a pastor that are tricky for your own spiritual life?
You know, to be honest, my best friend growing up was a pastor's daughter. So I was in her home a lot as, you know, and her dad was the minister of my church. And she had a lot of expectations on her as a pastor's kid. And which she really didn't like, and I didn't like as her friend. And
yeah, I can see you wanting to try and pull her into trouble, and she's like, "What will the church think?"
Try not to go there, but yeah, I did. But so I didn't want that for our home. I didn't want the, because their dad was the minister, I wanted them to love Jesus despite, not because their dad was the minister, but I just wanted them to see Jesus and experience him as very real and present in their lives. So I wouldn't say it was negative. I've always said I feel very privileged to have had the life I've had.
Oh, that's great. Love that. So then looking back on your own children's faith, or maybe you've had conversations about this with them later, is there anything that they would say or you would say made a really big impact on their current faith?
Yeah, I think there's two things I was thinking of. Just like that book I was talking about had sort of an epiphany moment for me. Earlier on, these comments relate around the teen years, I would say, that somebody said to us when our kids started entering, like they were 10 to 13 years old in that category, they challenged us to trust our children. And we really thought hard about that, and we intentionally decided to do that. And that really changed the trajectory of our parenting. That rather than assume the worst, we assumed that they would make the right choice.
Wow.
And so that really affected our relationship. And given the fact that we made the choice to send our kids to a school that was in a different city. So this had a huge impact on them because they had to get there, which was like 45 minutes away. And then consequently, their friends might have been 2 or 3 hours away. So they would spend, a lot of time in the car as a teenager. They would be meeting, you know, groups of teens in places 2 hours away that we couldn't go check on them. Mm. And I think they knew that we trusted them. And trust can be broken. There's no doubt it can be broken. And we all know stories of that in friendship or marriage or whatever. And then the rules change. Mm-hmm. Or trust needs to be built. But I really think that it had an impact, and our son especially said he always knew, like when he was in a situation that he knew he could make a choice that wasn't a good one, he said knowing that his parents trusted him really affected his choices. So that was a huge strategy we used in parenting. And the other one can actually make me a little emotional because it's something that I didn't do, but was a gift from God, that we raised our children in a village. And they were very much loved by the friends of the parents of their friends, by people in our church. Mm. When I think of our daughter, like older women would invite her out for coffee. Her GEMS club or girls club, you know, would have them over. It was very much like, it wasn't just Tom and I raising them, but they were raised by other people too. And like, I think of my daughter went through a rough time in high school and for a couple years, and the secretary of the school did a Bible study with her on her own time at lunchtime.
Wow.
And you know, all these things really had an impact. And so I always say they were really raised in a village. And our son was like a 10 out of 10 extrovert.
Oh, wow.
He needed a long apron string. Like he couldn't be tied. And that would have been really bad for him. Mm. So he had a lot of places he could go, and but he wasn't aware that all of the parents involved in all these activities, we were very connected. And well, the whole group of them is going here now, and we knew about it, but they thought they were free and easy, but they weren't.
So were you making intentional connections with other parents and with these people then, or did it kind of grow? These people were just like, well, I'm just going to take your daughter out for coffee.
Oh, no, they would offer. They
okay.
Would, no, I didn't ask. They would, that's just the kind of community we were in. And that has affected how I live my life now, that it's a bit of a pay it back. You know, I try to invest in children and young people because people invested in my kids and it had a huge impact.
So as you were talking, I realized like that's actually one of the keys. This, you probably can't read it. It's backwards.
Yes.
It's a sticky faith guide for your family. And one of the ways for your kids' faith to stick is for there to be other adults around them that are also sharing faith with them and sharing life with them. Adults that care about them.
Yes.
So what about, do you think that you would have pursued that intentionally if it hadn't just kind of dropped in your lap? Because I know for a lot of people that probably doesn't just drop in their lap.
You know, I didn't, at that time, it didn't occur to me that that was something maybe my kids needed, but my kids didn't have extended family. We didn't live near grandparents or aunts and uncles. So we were on our own, the four of us, a very tiny family. And I just feel like it was God's grace that he showed me that this is community and this is how it works. And it became a value of mine. Mm. And as I saw people investing in my kids, I began to invest in other people's kids as well.
That's cool. It's like a little ripple in a pond and it just keeps going out. Because now other people are going to see you investing in their kids and then they're going to go and do that for other families as they see the importance of that.
Yeah. And it could be just, I just remember people just noticing, like saying to our daughter, oh, you got a new dress. Like they just, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, outing, right?
It right. can be
simple as noticing a child. And anyway, it had a profound effect on, and our kids would say that as well. That,
wow. Yeah. Having other people. Yes. So were most of these like kind of spiritual parenting sort of relationships, or were some of them like, you know, their soccer coach just being nice to them, or?
Yeah. Some of them were just being nice, you know, but some of them were a much more of a spiritual connection that they had or felt like they could talk about faith with or struggles with. And
great.
I think in the teenage years, sometimes they need a little space from mom and dad. And to have that is a good thing.
Good to know.
But I did want to, I'm looking here at my notes because I made a couple notes, but I did want to say that, and this is might be controversial, but this is what I did. I was fairly intentional about what kind of friends my kids had. And I didn't always tell them. So I would look for, I'm thinking of my daughter one time. She was really quite taken with this one girl. She was probably 13 or 14 at the time. And this girl would come over and she would completely dominate my daughter. And my daughter was more of an introvert and quieter. And her whole personality would go under the carpet. Like she had no personality with this friend. And I really didn't like it. I didn't think this was a good match. And I didn't encourage the, I never said, I don't like your friend. I just would say, oh, we can't go there. It's too far. We don't have time. I made it very difficult.
Yeah.
But other friends, I would drive the 45 minutes to go get them. Or I would, if I saw, and it goes two ways. If I saw that my kids brought the best out of someone else, I would encourage that as well. So I was a bit, you could almost say manipulative in terms of friendships. I think friendships of children has a huge impact on who they become and how they think about life. And parents know their children and know if the best is coming out of them or not.
Yeah, that's true. We had some issues like that with Ethan. There was a little boy that was quite manipulative of him for a couple years in school, and they had kind of a weird relationship. So finally I just told him, like, look, be nice to him, be kind to him, but you do not have to be friends with him. Like,
right.
This is not working for you. We still, you know, be like Jesus. We're not going to be mean. But exactly. We're just not going to hang out with this boy. And that was kind of the end of that.
Yeah. I think that's okay. And I think that's part of being a mom or a dad. you know, mm-hmm. looking out for your kid.
Yeah, I definitely pray for healthy friendships for my kids. It is a little bit harder to find now that we're homeschooling. I felt like that was a bit of a struggle this year. But we happened to move into the neighborhood where one of Ethan's friends, they go to a church, a different church. And anyway, he reconnected with his friend from a few years ago.
Oh, awesome.
I couldn't have been happier. Now I just need to find somebody for Oliver. But yeah, I think it's okay to kind of, like you said, like, I don't know if manipulate's the best word, but that's kind of what we're doing, right? Manipulate the friendships of our kids. So like, we're trying to find good fits for them and to pair them up with somebody that is, I like that, you're going to bring out the best in them and they're going to bring out the best in their friend.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, we don't want, as far as we can, we don't want them to be kind of dragged down.
Right, so
that is an interesting thing to think about, though. Like, at what point do you say, that's not a good friend for you, that person is dragging you down?
Mm-hmm.
At what point, as a Christian, are you supposed to be sharing the light of Christ? So...
Yeah, but I mean, it is, that's why I said it's a controversial.
Yeah.
I think we all, you know, people that we allow in our inner circle, we all have an inner circle, right? And that inner circle is usually life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that doesn't mean we don't have other circles that sometimes we spend time with them and they drain us and it takes extra grace or it takes extra resources. But we're still committed to it because God calls us to it. But I think children, they are not always developmentally ready to really see what a person is doing to them and that they're bringing them down and what to do about that. And as they mature, they get better at discerning that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it also goes back to what you said before about if my child is bringing out the best in that child, right? Yeah. So maybe this child is not like awesome, but, or doesn't come from the greatest family, but my child is bringing out the best in them. So that is a good relationship then.
Yes.
It's not a dragging down. It's a bringing up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be another way of thinking about it. Okay. Well, we have a few minutes left. So do you have anything in your notes that you didn't say yet?
One, you said, what one piece of advice do I want to give a young mom? And that's kind of like what I'm really passionate about during COVID.
Okay.
And, I'm really passionate that, so I'll just leave it at moms. I believe this for dads too.
Oh, there's no moms listening or no dads listening. Sorry.
Okay. I think sometimes, young moms feel like they're not, have all the gifts that they need to raise their children. And I really believe that God uniquely has put his spirit on each mother for their children. And they are uniquely gifted. And so in COVID, you know, there are a zillion, you know, suggestions on how to take care of your kids. And I just really believe that you know your children like no one else does. Mm. You are uniquely gifted and you can soar with those gifts and be yourself and give yourself a lot of grace and excitement in using those gifts. And so if your next door best friend is, you know, the academic, you know, science whiz who the kids are just becoming little professors, good for her. She's just doing a great job. But maybe you're the artsy mom and you're just bringing just a fresh beauty into their lives and a different perspective. And I just say, run with it. You know, just run with who you are and that God uniquely gifted you to raise those children. And I really believe that. And then the second one is just give yourself grace. You know, when you met, like that's something newly I'm meditating on, just meditate on grace. You have a bad day. That's okay. You know, we're in COVID and you're in the house all the time. We all have bad days. I have bad days. That's what grace is all about. And just go forward in the grace of God and he'll get you going for the next day.
And a good nap.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was reading to my kids this morning and I fell asleep and I felt really good after, you know, 10 minutes. I woke up and was like, okay, we can keep reading.
Yes.
That was grace. I thought it felt like from God. It's okay. Just, you know, take a 10 a.m. nap.
No, that's a great example. I love that. Yeah. He loves to show us grace. Mm-hmm. He's so full of grace and he loves to shower it on us. Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said before too. I think, you know, it's easy, especially now when we're kind of stuck inside. So I feel like a lot of people are on social media more and we're scrolling through Instagram and we're like, wow, look at what that mom is doing. They're like journaling with their kids about COVID and boy, how come I didn't think of that? Or they're, you know, their house is clean.
Exactly.
And no excuse. And my house is still not clean.
Yeah. And I just say, you know, it's an ache in my soul for young moms right now that they just celebrate who they are and run with it, you know, run with who you are and the gifts you have right now for COVID with your kids and just keep your eyes off, you know, encourage your best friend who's doing it differently and celebrate that, but do your own thing.
I love that. Well, on that note, we're going to end. Thank you so much for being with us, Janet. This has been very encouraging.
Okay.
See, I wasn't surprised. Maybe you're surprised, but I'm not surprised.
Well, I love all the women you minister to, and I especially love you.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us.